Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we will explore A Promised Land by Barack Obama. This compelling memoir serves as the first volume chronicling the ascent of Obama from his early days as a young man in Honolulu to his presidency at the White House, casting a light on his roles both as a community organizer in Chicago and a pivotal figure in American politics. Authored by Barack Obama, the 44th President of the United States and the first non-white man elected to the nation's highest office, this memoir not only offers an intimate look at his life, but also delves into the complexities of leadership and decision-making at the helm of one of the most powerful nations. Obama's other works, Dreams from My Father and The Audacity of Hope, have also achieved international bestseller status, attesting to his skilled storytelling and insightful analysis. A Promised Land is ideal for readers interested in understanding the intricacies of modern American politics, enthusiasts of detailed biographies, and anyone curious about Barack Obama's early life strategies and experiences. Join us as we summarize and discuss the key themes and intriguing insights from Obama's impactful narrative. A Promised Land, the first memoir of Barack Obama, the 44th President of the United States. Introduction: Navigating Challenges. The Unexpected Journey of Barack Obama. The year 2000 marked a low point for Barack Obama, a young state senator from Illinois who faced a series of embarrassing setbacks. Fresh from a crushing defeat in a congressional race, losing by a whopping 30 points, Obama's personal woes seemed to continue as he arrived in Los Angeles for the Democratic National Convention. Financial embarrassment ensued as his American Express card was declined at a car rental agency, and his troubles were capped off when he was denied access to both the convention floor and a prestigious after-party due to credential issues. Defeated, he headed to the airport, prepared to fly home in obscurity. This could have marked the end of Obama's political aspirations. Instead, it was just the beginning. Despite his setbacks and a host of detractors, Obama held on to a vision for America, one where unity transcended divisions of race, class, and politics. His persistence paid off. 4 years later, he delivered the keynote address at the DNC, and 4 years after that, he accepted the Democratic nomination for president, setting him on a path to become the first Black president of the United States. But Obama's narrative isn't just a tale of political aspirations and achievements. His life story offers a more complex backdrop, involving an unremarkable and turbulent childhood in Honolulu, characterized by mediocre academic performance and drug experimentation. Yet these blinks into his life reveal the transformative journey of a man who, amidst self-doubt and adversity, would come to sit in the Oval Office during some of the nation's most pivotal moments, including the daring decision to order the raid that would eliminate Osama bin Laden. The series explores lesser-known aspects of Obama's life, the eclectic influences in his early life, as evidenced by his interest in the works of critical theorists like Foucault and Marx, attempting to forge intellectual connections, perhaps as a means to attract similarly thoughtful partners. His personal challenges while in office, such as smoking. The personal anecdotes provide a grounding insight into his daily struggles and triumphs, including the monumental effort required to quit smoking while leading the country. And intriguing political interactions, such as a memorable comment made by Mitch McConnell to Joe Biden that lingered long in the corridors of political power. This exploration offers a closer look at the complexities and personal battles of a man often viewed only through the lens of his public achievements. Part 1. From Curious Child to Political Pioneer. Born in 1961 in Honolulu, Hawaii, Barack Hussein Obama was an unremarkable youth by most standards. Raised by his mother and grandparents, no one could have predicted that this average student and decent basketball player would one day become the President of the United States. His youthful interests leaned more towards social gatherings than societal issues. However, during his high school years, Obama began to ponder deep questions that his family couldn't answer, such as the racial disparities in professional basketball and the economic struggles of seemingly good people. These questions drove him to books, sparking a passion for reading that would significantly shape his understanding of the world. This newfound knowledge followed him to Occidental College in Los Angeles in 1979, where his academic pursuits were, admittedly, partially motivated by a desire to impress his peers, particularly the women he was romantically interested in. His attempts at wooing them with philosophical and political discourse were largely unsuccessful in romance, but they enriched his grasp of political theory. Transferring to Columbia University, Obama's interest shifted from theory to practical application. Here, he realized that real change was effected through active engagement, not passive observation. Post-graduation, he pursued this realization to Chicago, where he worked on stabilizing communities affected by industrial decline. This experience not only pulled him away from theoretical studies, but also deepened his understanding of his identity as a mixed-race individual. Frustrated by the sluggish pace of change, Obama sought a platform that could amplify his impact. This led him to Harvard Law School. Surrounded by the intellectual rigor of Harvard, Obama thrived, delving deeply into civics, which paved the way for him to become the head of the Harvard Law Review, secure his first book deal, and receive offers from prestigious law firms. Though these offers were tempting, Obama chose a different path, one less traveled but more aligned with his visions of community improvement and social justice. This decision was a defining moment in his journey from a curious child to a political pioneer, marking just the beginning of his impactful career. Part 2: A Crossroads of Ambition and Family. In the year 2000, Barack Obama faced a pivotal moment that would dramatically influence his future. At this time, his personal life flourished. He was married to Michelle, a brilliant lawyer, and they had welcomed their daughter Malia into the world. Professionally, he balanced dual roles in law practice and teaching while serving as a state senator, a position he had secured and retained through two election cycles. Despite these successes, Obama felt an unshakable drive to achieve more in the political arena. This ambition led him to make a challenging decision: to run for the United States House of Representatives against a well-liked incumbent. The decision was bold and, as it turned out, ill-fated, ending in a substantial defeat by 30 points. This loss prompted a period of deep reflection for Obama. He recognized his decision as reckless, jeopardizing not just his career, but also his responsibilities to his young family. Despite Michelle's plea for a more present partnership, the pull of his political aspirations remained strong. He was not ready to abandon his lifelong dream of bridging divides across America's varied political, racial, and socioeconomic landscapes. With Michelle's hesitant support, Obama decided to make one final gamble on his political career, this time aiming for a national platform in the U.S. Senate. He knew that a failure here would see him retire from politics entirely, content that he had given his ambitions a fair shot. Joining forces with David Axelrod, a seasoned journalist turned political strategist, turned Obama's fortunes. Axelrod refined Obama's message and presentation, setting the stage for a campaign resurrection catalyzed by a passionate speech against the Iraq War that captured the burgeoning power of online platforms like blogs and MySpace, then unfamiliar territories to Obama. The momentum was palpable. His campaign soon swelled with small donations and eager volunteers, signaling a resurgent hope among many Americans. This period of ascendancy peaked when Obama was chosen to deliver the keynote address at the 2004 Democratic National Convention. Crafting his speech in a modest Springfield hotel room, Obama synthesized his political visions with personal anecdotes into a narrative centered around a concept from his pastor in Chicago: the audacity of hope. This address became a defining moment in his life, marking the end of his anonymity and igniting his national political stature. Weeks later, Obama's gamble paid off spectacularly. He was elected to the Senate in a landslide victory, setting a new trajectory for his career and, ultimately, for the nation. Part 3. The Meteoric Rise of a Political Star. Post his electrifying speech at the Democratic National Convention in 2004, Barack Obama's public life transformed overnight. The spotlight intensified, complicating even simple family outings. During a particularly chaotic trip to the Lincoln Park Zoo, his daughter Malia whimsically suggested he should adopt the pseudonym Johnny McJohn John to reclaim some semblance of anonymity, humorously hinting at his unmistakable public presence. From the moment he left the DNC stage, the murmurs about a presidential future grew louder, despite Obama's own reservations. By 2006, the persistent media speculation and a pivotal conversation with Nevada Senator Harry Reid made the once distant idea of a presidential run seem plausible. However, it was a meaningful encounter with Senator Ted Kennedy that became the decisive moment. Kennedy, evoking the legacy of his brothers, John and Robert, challenged Obama with the profound idea that one does not choose the timing of their destiny, it chooses them. Embracing this call to action, Obama declared his presidential candidacy in February 2007 and, without hesitation, headed to Iowa, a critical battleground in the primary caucus. His campaign events drew unusually large crowds, prompting seasoned political operatives to note the exceptional nature of his appeal. Obama, however, was far from the prototypical candidate. His academic background often showed in his approach. He preferred engaging in depth with issues rather than sticking to crisp, calculated sound bites. This contrasted sharply with other seasoned candidates who manipulated the media to their advantage. Nevertheless, two key assets bolstered his campaign: a strategic mastermind in David Axelrod and a burgeoning grassroots fundraising effort that increasingly relied on small donors, complemented by a passionate army of young, dedicated volunteers. As the campaign gained momentum, it became evident that Obama was a formidable challenger, stirring concern in established camps, particularly that of Hillary Clinton, the presumed front-runner. Tensions climaxed in a heated exchange on an Iowa tarmac, an anecdote emblematic of the intense pressures and high stakes defining the campaign trail. Despite these confrontations and the savviness of his opponents, Obama's distinct approach resonated deeply with voters. His victory in the Iowa caucus by a noticeable margin was not just a win, but a statement, setting the stage for a formidable and historic race. The path ahead was now clear, and the once improbable presidential run was in full motion. Part 4. Overcoming Barriers on the Road to History. The euphoria from Obama's Iowa victory was quickly tempered by a loss in the New Hampshire primary, shattering any illusion that his campaign would be a straightforward march to victory. This set the stage for what Obama now regards as one of the most crucial junctures of his presidential run. The setback galvanized his team, reinforcing their resolve to dig in and adapt to the increasingly complex battle ahead. Further challenges soon surfaced, notably involving Obama's former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, whose contentious sermons reignited uncomfortable debates about race. This controversy unearthed Obama's delicate relationship with the black community. Some doubted America's readiness for a black president, while others questioned Obama's authenticity as a representative of their struggles. Beyond these internal community dynamics, Obama faced virulent external attacks, ranging from absurd accusations of past criminal activities to deeply offensive racial insinuations, such as a Fox News segment flippantly referring to Michelle Obama as Obama's baby mama. Nevertheless, the campaign persevered and witnessed significant victories, such as in South Carolina, where a historic turnout among black voters underscored a swelling wave of support. Obama's rallies became fervent gatherings, emblematic of the diverse hopes and dreams projected onto him, a weight of expectations he feared impossible to satisfy fully. The situation escalated with a widely circulated compilation video of Wright's most controversial statements, including the infamous "Goddamn America" sermon. This threatened to alienate potential supporters, especially those uneasy with a black president. Recognizing the campaign's potential jeopardy, Obama decided to address the issue head-on. Crafting a nuanced speech about race, Obama aimed to contextualize Wright's influence within his broader life story, which also included his white grandmother, who harbored her own prejudices. This speech wasn't just damage control. It was a candid and comprehensive reflection on race in America, told through the prism of his personal experiences. To the relief and satisfaction of his campaign, the speech resonated widely, becoming a defining moment. Drawing over 1 million views within the first 24 hours, it not only mitigated the fallout from Wright's controversy, but also reaffirmed Obama's ability to engage with complex issues in ways that transcended traditional political rhetoric. This pivotal speech propelled Obama forward, leading to a string of primary victories that decisively positioned him as the Democratic nominee. These successes marked not just a campaign triumph, but a significant milestone in American history, signaling a nation on the cusp of embracing its first black president. Part 5. A transformative partnership forms amidst brewing storms. As the 2008 presidential race intensified, Barack Obama faced the crucial decision of selecting a vice presidential candidate. Initially, Joe Biden didn't seem like the obvious choice. With a nearly two-decade age difference, contrasting personalities, and differing political backgrounds, they were an unlikely pair. Biden's congeniality and straightforward charm differed sharply from Obama's more reserved and analytical demeanor. However, Biden's intelligence, compassion, and sincere empathy ultimately made the decision clear for Obama. Their partnership symbolized a balance of qualities and mutual respect. As the campaign progressed, Obama gained traction in the polls. This lead appeared solid until John McCain, the Republican nominee, made a surprising vice presidential pick that sent ripples through the political landscape. When Sarah Palin, the relatively unknown governor of Alaska, joined McCain, it prompted a bewildered reaction from Biden and left many Americans curious. With her folksy charm and conservative values, Palin resonated with a significant segment of voters, underscoring the deep-rooted partisan and cultural divides within the country. John McCain, admired by Obama for his courage and integrity, seemed increasingly swayed by the rightward shift of his party and the populist currents shaping the electorate. Yet, the challenges Obama faced went beyond electoral politics. A looming financial crisis threatened to overshadow the presidential campaign. By late 2007, the collapse of major subprime lenders heralded a broader unraveling of the financial sector, culminating in widespread institutional losses, market panic, and a recession by spring 2008. This crisis posed a severe test for both campaigns, but particularly destabilized McCain's efforts. His decision to suspend his campaign to address the crisis was widely seen as a last-ditch effort, one that inadvertently signaled his campaign's desperation to many observers. Amidst this turmoil, cultural and political enthusiasm for Obama continued to build. The iconic Hope poster by Shepard Fairey became a visual symbol of the era, capturing Obama's visage in patriotic colors and embodying the soaring aspirations of many Americans. Valerie Jarrett, Obama's close advisor, encapsulated the moment by remarking on his transformation into a national symbol of change. On Election Day, maintaining a tradition believed to bring good luck, Obama played basketball. Later, he joined his family and advisors in a downtown Chicago hotel to watch the electoral returns. As state after state turned blue, the magnitude of the moment was overwhelming. Sitting beside his mother-in-law, Marian Robinson, who had never imagined seeing a black president in her lifetime, the realization of what they were witnessing was poignant. Obama's journey from a hopeful candidate to the brink of the presidency was not just a personal victory, but a historic milestone for America. Part 6. Steering through stormy economic waters. In the winter of 2008, as President Barack Obama took office, the United States faced one of its most severe economic crises since the Great Depression. With the stock market plummeting by 40%, over 2.3 million homes facing foreclosure, and household wealth experiencing a catastrophic drop, the challenges were monumental. Amidst this dire picture, Obama found the stress so overwhelming that he resumed smoking, reaching up to 10 cigarettes a day in his struggle to cope. The paramount task at hand was to stabilize the faltering economy. The cornerstone of Obama's strategy was the implementation of a fiscal stimulus bill designed to inject a surge of capital back into the economy. This ambitious plan included enhanced food stamps, extended unemployment benefits, tax reductions for the middle class, and crucial financial support to states, which would enable them to retain essential public service employees like teachers and firefighters. However, getting the bill passed through Congress was no small feat. The legislative landscape had significantly shifted. Bipartisanship felt like a relic of the past, barely surviving amidst a polarized political environment dominated by figures influenced by Newt Gingrich, Rush Limbaugh, and Sarah Palin. These figures, emblematic of a no-compromise stance, were driven by Mitch McConnell, the Republican Senate leader, known for his stark partisanship and lack of charisma. McConnell's approach to politics was distinctly adversarial. An anecdote from Joe Biden highlighted this dynamic. During a Senate interaction aimed at discussing legislation, McConnell dismissively halted Biden with a hand gesture, indicating a complete lack of interest in dialogue. According to Biden, McConnell's words were harsh. "You must be under the mistaken impression that I care." Despite these challenges, Obama remained committed to bipartisanship, striving for cooperation across the aisle. Yet, as his attempts continued, it became apparent that such efforts were in vain. McConnell had reportedly instructed his caucus to avoid any engagement with the White House staff about the stimulus package, aiming to thwart Obama's legislative agenda at all costs. The Recovery Act eventually passed without a single Republican vote, a stark indicator of the intense partisan battles that lay ahead. This unanimous GOP opposition marked the beginning of an enduring legislative war against Obama's administration, setting a tone of divisiveness that would not only shape his presidency, but also have lasting implications on the political landscape of America, repercussions that the nation continues to navigate. Part 7: Strategic Moves in Crisis and Compassion. Within the first few months of his presidency, Barack Obama found himself in a pivotal meeting with Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Previously, the grimness of economic reports was often visible on Geithner's face, but that day, there was a flicker of optimism. It seemed the economy might finally be showing signs of recovery. However, the financial crisis was far from confined to the United States. It had become a global catastrophe, dominating discussions at the 2009 G20 summit in London. Here, Obama faced one of his first major international tests, persuading a diverse group of global leaders about the merits of a unified fiscal stimulus approach. This task included securing the cooperation of traditionally hesitant nations like Russia and China, as well as navigating the dynamic personalities of European leaders such as Germany's Angela Merkel and France's Nicolas Sarkozy. Merkel, methodical and reserved, formed an immediate connection with Obama, while the more volatile Sarkozy provided both challenges and moments of light amusement, such as his unexpected chanting of Geithner's name after reaching an agreement. Back on domestic ground, the Obama family received a lighter, more personal gift from Senator Ted Kennedy, a Portuguese water dog named Bo, who quickly endeared himself as a new family member. Yet the gift was bittersweet, as Kennedy was battling a terminal brain tumor. Healthcare, a cause Kennedy had championed tirelessly, was facing a critical juncture. The U.S. healthcare system was in dire straits. With soaring costs and over 43 million uninsured Americans, the situation was unsustainable. Obama, now facing the intricacies of healthcare reform, was warned of the substantial political risk involved. The legislative landscape was fraught, with a divided Congress and uncertain outcomes. But driven by a recession that would impact his public approval regardless, Obama chose to pursue universal health care, a decision fueled not by political calculations, but by a moral imperative to aid millions in need. Kennedy, despite his frail health, joined Obama for a poignant press conference on health care reform, making one of his final public appearances to advocate for a cause close to his heart. As the legislative battle loomed, Obama aimed for a bill that would extend an olive branch across the aisle, hoping to capture at least some Republican support. However, he soon faced the harsh reality that bipartisan cooperation might be more elusive than anticipated, setting the stage for one of his presidency's defining struggles. Part 8: Triumphs and Tribulations in Transformative Times. From the outset, the Affordable Care Act faced fierce opposition from Republicans, who orchestrated a concerted effort to undermine the reform. They experimented with various messages to sway public opinion, ultimately settling on the potent narrative of a government takeover of healthcare, a phrase meticulously crafted to stir discontent among conservative voters. This tactic was spearheaded by Senator Mitch McConnell, who used it effectively to mobilize resistance against the legislation. During the tumultuous summer of 2009, the rise of the Tea Party movement marked a significant shift in American politics. The movement capitalized on the fears and uncertainties of the public, rallying against the healthcare reform, now pejoratively labeled as Obamacare, and reviving the baseless claims questioning Obama's eligibility as president, alleging his birth outside the United States. Amid this charged atmosphere, Obama saw an opportunity to bolster congressional Democrats. He organized a primetime address to a joint session of Congress, aiming to clarify the intentions and benefits of the healthcare bill. However, the address was overshadowed by a breach of decorum when a congressman from South Carolina accused Obama of lying, a moment that starkly illustrated the heated and divisive political climate. Despite these challenges, the Senate passed the Affordable Care Act on Christmas Eve 2009, following a grueling 24-hour session, and after enduring a protracted struggle, the legislation also cleared the House a few months later. This victory was a significant achievement for Obama's administration, fulfilling a major campaign promise. In a personal victory, Obama also decided it was time to quit smoking, a habit he had struggled with for years. He hasn't smoked since. However, political success came at a steep cost. The midterm elections of 2010 proved to be a harsh referendum on the Democratic agenda. Despite having successfully revived the economy from the brink of depression and passing a groundbreaking healthcare bill, the slow economic recovery continued to weigh heavily on American households. The public sentiment was fraught with frustration over ongoing economic struggles, overshadowing the administration's accomplishments. The electoral backlash was severe. Democrats lost 63 seats in the House, the most substantial loss since the 1930s, along with their Senate supermajority. This dramatic shift set the stage for even more challenging legislative battles ahead, marking a period of increased polarization and partisanship that would define the remainder of Obama's presidency. Part 9: Navigating Complex Global Landscapes. During his initial years in office, President Barack Obama grappled with the realization that his role often required him to be more of a reformist than a radical, particularly in foreign affairs. This perspective was tested repeatedly through various international crises, each demanding a balance between his ideals and the harsh realities of geopolitical strategy. One of the most pressing issues was the war in Afghanistan. Here, Obama faced a dilemma that starkly highlighted the limitations of a radical approach. The Afghan government was riddled with corruption and inefficacy, and the Taliban held significant influence over the daily lives of the population. A sudden withdrawal of U.S. troops, as much as it might have appealed to anti-war sentiments, was deemed impractical and potentially disastrous by military advisors. The Joint Chiefs of Staff recommended an escalation instead, proposing an increase of 17,000 troops to counter a Taliban offensive. Just as Obama authorized this increase, he faced another request, this time for an additional 40,000 troops. This stark decision point was a far cry from his anti-war stance during his campaign, underscoring the complexities of presidential decision-making. Amidst these military escalations, Obama received a surprising call from the Nobel Committee, informing him that he had been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The irony was not lost on him. He was deepening U.S. military involvement abroad, not fostering peace. This award highlighted the contrast between the global expectations of his presidency and the gritty realities he faced. Obama's foreign policy challenges were not limited to military issues. In 2010, the Arab Spring reached Egypt, where thousands of protesters filled Tahrir Square, demanding the ouster of Hosni Mubarak. As a senator, Obama might have unhesitatingly supported the democratic aspirations of the Egyptian people. However, as president, he had to consider the strategic implications of Mubarak's potential downfall. The stability of Egypt, a pivotal U.S. ally, was at stake, and the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood posed additional concerns for U.S. interests in the Middle East. After careful deliberation, Obama decided to support the protesters' demands for democracy. He privately and then publicly called for Mubarak to step down, a stance that resonated with democratic ideals, but also set the stage for further unrest in the region. Mubarak's resignation marked a significant moment in Middle Eastern politics, but also foreshadowed further conflicts, including the tragic events in Syria, Bahrain, and later, Benghazi, Libya. These decisions during Obama's presidency illustrate the perpetual conflict between idealism and pragmatism that defines global leadership, where every choice can have profound and often unpredictable consequences. Part 10: Decisive Action in the Hunt for Osama bin Laden. From the moment he entered the Oval Office, President Barack Obama set a clear directive for his national security team. Intensify the search for Osama bin Laden, the elusive mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks. Obama viewed bin Laden's freedom as not only a challenge to U.S. authority, but also a continuing source of anguish for families affected by the tragedy. In 2010, this renewed focus yielded significant results. CIA analysts identified a suspicious compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan, which housed an individual known as the Pacer. His physical characteristics and certain behavioral patterns, including burning trash and the number of people he lived with, matched those reported of Osama bin Laden. The analysts estimated a 60 to 80% likelihood that the Pacer was indeed bin Laden. The monumental decision of how to proceed fell to President Obama. He was faced with the prospect of authorizing a covert military operation on foreign soil, an action fraught with geopolitical and operational risks. Aware that any leak could jeopardize the mission, Obama opted for secrecy and deliberation, recognizing that bin Laden would vanish again at the slightest hint of American pursuit. After nearly 2 years of meticulous planning and secrecy, Obama authorized a daring raid by a special ops Navy SEAL team. They were to infiltrate the compound from Afghanistan using helicopters, eliminate bin Laden, and withdraw before attracting the attention of Pakistani authorities. As the operation commenced, the tension in the White House was palpable. Obama spent the day of the raid distracted, attempting to distract himself by playing cards with his staff as they awaited nightfall in Pakistan. When the operation finally began, he and his advisors huddled in a small room around a military technician to monitor the situation in real time, the first and only occasion Obama would witness a live military action during his presidency. The intense 20-minute operation culminated in the confirmation that had long been awaited. Osama bin Laden was eliminated. The news sparked spontaneous celebrations outside the White House, with crowds chanting patriotic slogans, a moment of national catharsis, reminiscent of the jubilation that accompanied Obama's historic election victory. For once in his presidency, the achievement was universally recognized, requiring no further justification or explanation. Later, as Obama traveled back to the White House after meeting the SEAL team responsible for the mission, he experienced a rare moment of tranquility. Gazing at the Potomac River, he reflected on the gravity and significance of what had been accomplished. Despite knowing the myriad challenges that lay ahead with Congress, his re-election, and future executive decisions, Obama allowed himself a brief respite, a night to simply breathe amidst the relentless demands of his presidency. Final summary. Barack Obama's rise to the presidency is a narrative filled with unforeseen twists and significant trials, both personal and public. Beginning his life as a laid-back teenager in Honolulu, dealing with racial and cultural identity conflicts. Obama's journey to becoming the first Black president of the United States was anything but straightforward. Throughout his path, Obama encountered numerous hurdles, some resulting from external opposition, others from his own mistakes and inner conflicts. At the core of his challenges were issues of identity, arrogance, and entitlement, alongside societal preconceptions that he continuously strived to overcome. These personal battles mirrored the larger national issues he would later address as president. His mixed heritage and diverse upbringing endowed him with a unique perspective that proved essential in navigating the complexities of national and international politics. Obama's presidency highlighted his ability to reconcile contrasting aspects of his identity and ideology. He managed to blend the working-class values instilled during his upbringing with the intellectual rigor of his Ivy League education. This fusion shaped his approach to governance, emphasizing the importance of compromise when necessary, while also knowing when to firmly uphold his beliefs. Throughout his political career, Obama's decisions, whether about healthcare, economic reform, or foreign policy, were often informed by his deep understanding of the nuanced interplay between differing viewpoints and backgrounds. He championed the idea that progress, whether personal or societal, involves a continual process of learning and adaptation. As he navigated the presidency's myriad challenges, Obama remained focused on what he believed would advance the nation's values of equality, justice, and opportunity. This steadfast commitment grounded his leadership, providing a model for resilience and pragmatism that he hoped would inspire not only the current generation, but also those to follow. As his time in office concluded, Obama's legacy emerged not just from the policies he implemented, but from the example he set in merging diverse aspects of America's identity towards a common good. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.